Another day and another presidential bid is launched. Today it was Senator Joseph Biden officially kicking his campaign off, though he's been talking about a run for quite a while. He joins a Democratic field that already includes John Edwards, Tom Vilsack, Christopher Dodd, and Dennis Kucinich. Of course, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Bill Richardson all have exploratory committees.
On the Republican side, the list of hopefuls is long as well. Among them, John McCain, Rudolph Giuliani, Mitt Romney, Sam Brownback, and many more.
We're talking with all of the announced major party presidential candidates today. Connecticut Democratic Senator Christopher Dodd. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be with you, Robert.
Iraq. Some Democrats say pass a non-binding resolution against the troop increase now and then possibly cut funding. You say cut funding right away. Why?
Well, because I think it gets more difficult down the road. I think non-binding resolutions can have, if you had 90 senators signing on from both parties, I wouldn't disagree that that has a significant impact. If we're going to have five resolutions, non-binding resolutions, competing with each other for 50 votes, it looks to me like Congress doesn't know what it wants to do on the issue. And this is a very important question. The surge is the issue at hand. Obviously, the longer-term question is what we do in Iraq. But immediately, the idea of injecting 17,000 to 20,000 people in a city of 6 million people with their 23 militias, Baathists, insurgents, al-Qaeda possibly operating, seems to me just a continuation of a failed policy.
But if it's hard to find 50 votes for a non-binding resolution, is a vote to cut funding more a protest vote, which is very unlikely to pass the Congress, than a real action that would alter events in Iraq?
Well, I'm not so sure, but at least it would require people to stand up and be heard and counted, rather than sort of sending an epistle. And I say that respectfully for those who are authoring this. But at this point here, the troops have not yet gone, or they're going. It's not done yet. Once they're there, the argument will become much more difficult in many ways. The argument will be they're on the ground. You don't want to be depriving these young men and women of the equipment they may need, and that'll be the argument given. So it seems to me before this really happens, the appropriate time for Congress to require an up-and-down vote is now. And that's not going to happen, apparently, but I regret that. I wish it did.
President Bush says if the U.S. starts pulling out, the result will be chaos in the region, greater Iranian influence, greater terrorist activity. Do you disagree with his appraisal of what the consequences would be, or do you say, rather, whatever they are, what we're doing now is worse for the U.S., so we should risk it?
That's sort of where I come out on this. I mean, this has been now 4 years, and the chaos reigns. It isn't just limited to Baghdad and major urban areas. And the Baker-Hamilton report, I thought, spoke eloquently about where most knowledgeable people are who focused on this, and that is that diplomacy and politics are the only way you're going to resolve this issue, reaching out to regional powers, insisting and forcing the internal elements in Iraq, to the extent you're able to do this, to come to some reconciliation. That is the only answer that is going to provide the word success for an Iraq policy.
But do you think the president is exaggerating the likely consequences of failure?
That's the case. I don't think it need come to that. I think there's an underestimation of our ability to have a real influence and to be able to take on the Iranians. We have a lot more allies than the Iranians do in the region at this point. Certainly most of these so-called modern Arab states, even those who are presently aligned with Iran. I think Syria is ripe for turning, but you need to invest the time and effort to do so, and this administration refuses to do that. Diplomacy is not a favor to these people. It's how the United States exercises its influence by engaging people, even people we disagree with on a number of issues.
Why did you vote for the war in the first place?
Because I made a mistake. I believed the information that we were getting on weapons of mass destruction, and I regret the vote, but I don't want to compound that vote by now voting for something that extends that policy.
Some other issues other than Iraq. You're chairman of the Senate Banking Committee.
That's true.
There's a joke in England nowadays that in the city of London, which is Britain's Wall Street, they should erect statues to Sarbanes and Oxley. Yeah. Because the Sarbanes-Oxley law that we passed, they say, as a response to accounting scandals in the U.S., drove business overseas. Better not to work in the U.S. I've heard it described as a piece of hasty legislation in which the Congress acted in excess. Do you agree with that, or do you think it's a good law?
No, I think it's a good law. It was enacted in haste, primarily because the administration didn't want to address the question of the 2002 congressional elections. But the law has worked very well. And interestingly, when you talk to CEOs of major corporations here, they believe this has been a good law and a good law for them. Now, we've had to clean some aspects of this up. The cost to smaller public companies has been significant. And those corrections have been made by the SEC. And there may be issues of competitiveness that we need to look at. But just to suggest it would be Sarbanes-Oxley, I think there's a long history here of how we regulate financial services in this country. On my watch, I'm not going to want to see the United States lose its global leadership in financial services. I think it's a critically important sector of our economy. I'm also not on my watch going to allow the safety and soundness of our institutions collapse.
Do you think 25 years in the U.S. Senate is an asset in running for the Democratic presidential nomination, or a liability in the sense that you've cast about 3 million votes, I bet, during
least.
That time, and someone out there is going to find a number I'm of sure. votes that you're not proud of today?
The times demand experience. This is not a time for on-the-job training. Given the complexities of the world we live in, both domestically and internationally, where they morph into each other, it's seamless in many ways. And I believe, as has demonstrated, I think, over the years, that experience does matter to people.
Well, Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Robert.